This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say to them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen what is done to you in Egypt. Now, again, I want you to understand that the word Egypt means world. It is the world system. And verse 17, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all the Ites to a land flowing with milk and honey. Then they will heed your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3-day journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. How many days? 3 days. Let's go to verse 19. But I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give to the people favor in the sight of all the Egyptians. And it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. How many of y'all want to not go empty-handed? Amen. But every woman shall ask for her neighbor, namely of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, so you shall plunder the Egyptians. Now, this is powerful because the word, again, we know that this physically, this was a location, but spiritually, it's representation of the world system and those who are believers who will be led out of bondage, because the word Egypt also is a representation of the land of bondage and slavery, because you and I were born in bondage. And only through Jesus Christ can we be led out of bondage. And as we're being led out of bondage, something begins to happen. As we get right with God, God begins to restore things. As we begin to sow and we begin to reap. As we begin to follow his spiritual law. This was a prophetic message that would carry to all generations of the Lord's servants. It is a cycle that would repeat itself over and over and over till it is all fulfilled by Jesus Christ. In other words, then man and earth will be redeemed together. Has everybody got it? So in this, he said, let my people go so that we can go sacrifice. He said it was a 3-day journey. A 3-day journey. Go to John 14. What did he call himself? I am. John 14. What did Jesus say? Didn't he tell the Pharisees and Sadducees that he would destroy this temple in 3 days? He would what? Build it up. Just in the beginning here, in this area of Exodus, Jesus began to express himself. This was prophetic of what would happen. And in the rescuing, it would recycle itself. And it recycles itself to every human being. And verse 1 in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, this is Jesus telling his disciples. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said he was what? I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Now, Jesus came and he was doing signs and wonders. And there was also signs and wonders in Egypt. They were the wonders of the plagues that God did to release the people from the bondage of the Egyptian. They were slaves there. And now the ruler of this world is called Satan. And God is doing the same thing. It's recycling itself to the area. The Lord is trying to rescue those who are in bondage under the ruler of this world. And in bondage of fears and sicknesses and diseases, he's trying to bring them back out. And he's got a place of bringing them back out so that they can offer up the sacrifice of praise to him. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was a representation of a three-day journey. Is everybody with me? It was a three-day journey. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That was a three-day journey that would allow all mankind an exit from bondage, from the rule of Pharaoh in Egypt and Satan in the world system. Jesus was explaining this right from the book of Exodus. Egypt, again, is the world of bondage. Jesus is the Father in the Son. Is everybody with me? Jesus is the Father in the Son. That's why he said, I'm the way, truth, and life, and no man can come to me except for through my Father. In other words, nobody gets through to my Father except for through the Father. Again, here, freedom is fought. It is not bought. You can't buy freedom. People try to buy freedom. You can't buy the freedom. I don't care how much money you have in your account. You can't buy freedom. Freedom is fought. The price is a fight. Amen. Freedom is a fight. It is not bought. There is a price to all freedom, isn't there? And that's a price to fight. Hallelujah. And one of the things that happened when they came out of Exodus and God expressed to them, I am. Remember, Jesus said, I am. And there'd be a three-day journey. And the only way to come out of that was that God would have to bring plagues to Egypt so that they could come out. So that they could finally release the people of God. And in this, Jesus did the same thing. And go to Exodus 26. Exodus 26. This tabernacle, after the Lord removed them from the bondage of Egypt, he said, I want you to build me a tabernacle where I can dwell with my people. When you are removed from the bondage of the world, you become the tabernacle. But in the Old Testament, they had to actually physically build a tabernacle. And verse 1. Exodus 26, and it says, moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. The artistic design of a cherubim, you shall weave them. Now, let me explain to you something. Everything is symbolic in the Word of God. In fact, the Word of God is three-dimensional also. In this blue, there is blue, purple, and scarlet. Blue is a representation of priesthood. Purple is a representation of royalty. Scarlet is a representation of freedom through the blood of Christ. And he said, and you will, with an artist, I want you to sew in a design of a cherubim. You shall weave them. Why a cherubim? Because when the Lord removed Adam and Eve from the garden, he put a cherub around in front so nobody could get to the tree of life. So he was replacing, doing the identical of what he closed the garden where life was. He was putting it now symbolic of a cherub where they could now enter through and get life. Is everybody with me? He was no longer closing man out from the eternal life. He was now allowing them back in. So the first thing he did is he built a tabernacle. Go to verse 30. Exodus 26, verse 30. All glory. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. And he said, you shall hang it upon the four pillars of... Hold on. And you shall rise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen. It shall be woven with the artistic design of a cherubim, which is an angel, right? Okay. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of the acacia wood, overlay it with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon four sockets of silver. You shall hang the veil from the clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. Now, the way the tabernacle was built, it was built inside out. It was built from the inside out because God was coming now to dwell or visit man. So I want you to understand that it was built from the inside out. So the first place that was built is called the third chamber. It's called the most holy place. There was the Ark of the Covenant, which what place was the manna and the Ten Commandments and the rod of Aaron and incense and so forth. That was called the most holy place. So that was the third chamber of the tabernacle. So God told Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. The first place would be the place is closest to God. The second chamber is called the holy place. So there was a veil between the most holy place and the holy place. Okay? Then so you got the third chamber known as the most holy place. The second chamber was the holy place. The first chamber was called the outer court. And that's where an altar was built for sacrifice. And then the veil that would come in to the altar was the one that we saw with the cherubim, with the scarlet, with the blue and the purple, representation of now the angel that used to protect the tree of life was now opening up. So God came to dwell with man. Is everybody with me? Is everybody okay? Let's go a little bit further on this. Maybe you'll get a little bit more understanding. In verse 34, you shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the what? Most holy place. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lamp stand across from the table on the side of the table toward the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen made by a weaver. You shall make for it the screen five pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. Chapter 27. You shall make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar shall be square, and its height shall be 3 cubits. So again, if you and I were to approach the tabernacle, we would approach it in the outer court, the most holy place, the holy place, then the most holy place. That's how there was the standard and how man could approach God. Does everybody understand? The sacrifice was for the sacrifice of sins. That's why there was an altar out there. So they would sacrifice animals for the sins of man until the true sacrifice would come. God himself would be the sacrifice for all man. And he would put himself on the altar known as the cross. Is everybody okay? That's why the three chambers of the tabernacle that was built, the outer court is called the way. The holy place is called the truth. And the most holy place is called life, because that's where the Ark of the Covenant was and that's where God was dwelling. Is everybody okay? And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because you got to first repent for the blood to be activated. You must accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Then you have the port that goes through for eternal life and have relationship with God. Is everybody okay? So in this, after God removed the Israelites from the bondage of Egypt, he built a tabernacle so that man could come and repent, put sacrifices, and begin a relationship with God. It's the same thing with me and you. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we went through the tabernacle. And now we are the tabernacle. Amen? So now what God is asking me and you is to offer up the sacrifices of praise as the tabernacle of God. Now once the Lord removed them out of Egypt, he built a tabernacle. He set something very vitally important, and it's called the Feast of the Lord. They're called the Feasts of the Lord. And the Feast of the Lord would be practiced, even though Jesus would have to be the one who fulfills them. And go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. Now you got to remember something, that when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, let God's people go so that they can go sacrifice. He wouldn't let them go. In other words, he wouldn't let go. And what happened? All kinds of stuff happened, didn't it? All kinds of. Finally, when he let go and let God, people got free. Glory. Leviticus 23, is everybody there? On the 14th day of the first month at twilight, the Lord's Passover. Why? Because before the Lord removed the Israelites from Egypt of bondage, they sacrificed the lamb at twilight, and they placed the blood on the lintels of the door. And the spirit of death came in and killed the firstborn. But anywhere where the blood was, God passed over. So that's why it's called the Feast of Passover. So they would remember this and practice this all of their days. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. The word leaven means evil. It means evil. So what they were to do is they were not to put leaven in their bread so they can move quickly. Why? Because evil has a tendency to interfere with people and moving quickly. Now, I'm going to explain a little bit this, because on the first feast called Passover, Jesus fulfilled it by hanging on the cross. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, he fulfilled it by descending into hell and taking the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan and opening up those who were in captive in hell and allowing them to get free. Is everybody with me? In verse 9, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it, and you shall offer on the day when you wave the sheaf a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord. So on this, the first fruit is associated with Jesus raising from the dead. But see, they practiced these feasts in the Old Testament all of these years until Jesus fulfilled them. Even though it started, remember, in Egypt, when the Lord removed them, they did the Passover. Right? And they did the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then when they came out, they offered up the sacrifice of their first fruits. And they repeated this every year. Every year they repeated this. And they repeated all seven feasts, and I'm not going to go into all of them. Every year until Jesus could come and fulfill them. And he fulfilled them in 3 days. Called a three-day journey that would free God's people and anyone willing to follow him. 3 days. Jesus died on the cross. He went to hell, defeated Satan, and rose on the third day. And anyone willing to follow him could now be free by the three-day journey that was established. But there's something that we must do. We must let go and let God. Amen. We must what? Let go and let God. Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Is everybody there in verse 5? Hebrews 10 verse 5. Let's speak it together. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God, and from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Are you being sanctified? Amen. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and a full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, it's not... He's talking about through Jesus Christ now, we have access through all three chambers of the tabernacle to God the Father. Amen. And he says, don't forsake assembling because we all need one another to lift one another up, to exhort, to come and learn. Jesus offered himself for our freedom to set up an eternal port of exit from the bondage of the slavery of sin and the control of this evil world, who is known as Satan's kingdom. Now we have access to a freedom of peace, joy, and righteousness. If there's something that we continue to do, let go and let God. Amen? If we continue to what? Let go and let God. The word says, unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain. So in other words, God is building your house according to his plan, not our own. Amen. Amen? The worst thing we can do is be successful in the wrong assignment. Romans 6. In verse 1, Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, when you let go, you're allowing the death of Christ. You're saying, I agree with the death of Christ. It is no longer I that live, but him that live. Amen? So you are letting go of your life, and you're allowing God to establish his life. You're no longer fighting for your life anymore. You're fighting for the life of Christ. So you are dead to yourself, God willing. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of what? Sin, which means the presence of evil. For he who has died has been free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And grace is God's plan of escape. But how are you going to know God's plan if you're not assembling? How are you going to know God's plan or weapons? How are you going to learn how to fight if you're not assembling? Then you're not under grace. Hello. Grace is the plan of God to escape the deception of the devil and the wrath of God. Amen? Praise God. We are dead to self by accepting the death of Christ in exchange for a new life. Jesus came to let people go from Egypt forever if they follow him all the way out. We must learn to maintain. We must learn to fight for the new life of Christ. And we must learn to let go and let God. This is where we come to the same place as Christ in the garden, saying, not my will, but your will. We must come to the same place spiritually and physically. Amen? We must come to the same place spiritually and physically by letting go and letting God. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Let's speak it. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices accepted to God through Jesus Christ. These spiritual sacrifices is called praise. They're called what? Praise. So when you praise the Lord, you are offering up a spiritual sacrifice. When you tithe and offer, you are offering up a spiritual sacrifice. Verse 6. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Wow. In other words, he has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The world is darkness. The world is darkness, but the Lord's world is light. This world is death, but the Lord's world is life. We must let go of this world and let God take over, so that light and life are maintained in our life. 1 Peter chapter 4. It is a simple phrase to remember when the flood of the enemy comes. Because sometimes the flood comes so strong, you're not thinking about fighting. But there's something that you can think of quite quickly. Let go, let God, then fight. If you know how. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he's blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Powerful. 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. Next chapter, verse 6. Let's speak it together. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Whoa. Is that letting go and letting God? Amen. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In other words, we are to continue to let go and let God. Go to Philippians chapter 2. See, when you let go and let God, then as you pray or as you seek, because the word says, seek the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Seek his righteousness and all things will be added to you. Then what happens? He begins to reveal things to you. In other words, you're letting go and letting God. Why are you letting go and letting God? So you can wait for an answer. But if you don't let go and don't let God, you miss the answer. And you try to fix it yourself. Of course, we make more of a mess. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's speak it together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work it out. How are you going to work it out? Let go and let God. You're going to pick up, you're going to deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him, right? Amen. And verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, also be glad and rejoice with me. Chapter 3, and we'll close here. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for what? For Christ. In other words, all the things that I've learned, I'm willing to let go. I'm willing to let go of the world and let God establish me. I'm willing to let go of the things of the world that I so desired and loved, that I may have a new love of Christ Jesus. In verse 8, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I what? I press on, I let go, and I let God, that I may lay hold that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are what? Ahead. I what? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. This is so powerful because he says something profound in verse 3. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting. I do what? I forget those things which are what? Behind. In other words, he is letting go. I am forgetting those things. I'm no longer looking at those things. I'm severing those emotional attachments. I'm cutting loose of those things because they didn't do me any good then and they won't do me any good now. Hallelujah. It's amazing how we think that certain things from our past are going to make us feel better. How dumb can we be and still breathe? Hallelujah. So we're letting go of the things of the past and allowing God to establish our future. Amen. In verse 15, let's speak this again. Therefore, let us as many as are mature. In other words, this is the area where those who have the understanding here have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Again, let go. Let God. Let him build the house. Accept your responsibilities of what you sow and what you reap. Turn from the ways of evil and follow the righteous. Continue letting go and letting God, that he can establish, perfect, strengthen, and settle you. Because there isn't anything greater than a new life. And a new life is not a one-time event. It is a continuous event. Constant. The word says if you've been freed from the things of the past and build on them again, it's an abomination. Again, let the Lord build the house so it lasts and keep our paws out of it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your faithfulness. And Lord, anything that we have done again that we've gone into anxiety and stress and all the other things of trying to restore our past in our flesh, trying to build this house in the flesh in our own strength, we repent and ask for your forgiveness. We rededicate our lives to you today. We commit to you our spirit, soul, and body and flesh as a living sacrifice. And we ask that you establish each temple here as a trophy for your glory and a pillar in your temple. And that you would be glorified. That your banner would be above us. That your spirit would lead us. And that your word would dwell in us richly. And that others would see you in each and every one of us. And that whatever we touch shall prosper for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.